Hey, welcome to Define the Fight, where we literally are defining the fight, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally. And joining me today is actually an individual who has worked on me in the past. And I think it's important for us to understand that we have to make sure that we're taking care of our body in the proper gait positioning. And sometimes, whether you're playing a sport or just in life in general, injuries occur. Joining me today is Jody Crockett. She has her master's degree in physical therapy. She's also certified in dry needling. She focuses on the general orthopedics with an emphasis in dry needling, but outside of sports and orthopedics, she also treats chronic pain, migraines, neck, and back hair. So I'm excited for her to join us today because of the fact of I've been there, but I also know where the current state of our health and wellness in our country. A lot of people are actively seeking ways to feel better. So welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you currently are working at Pro Rehab.
Yep.
What are some of the different services that you provide when you see people come in to see you for services?
Yeah, we actually see a wide variety of things. And I have a great team over there, which is awesome because we can kind of see everything. And we have some people that specialize in many different areas. And that's nice to work as a team, because I think a lot of times in the healthcare system, we sometimes don't get heard all the time. And so just to have people to help us out, if it's maybe not our specialty or our area of interest, or maybe we don't have enough training, we can help each other out. So we see everything. We see a lot of general orthopedic type stuff, young individuals, but we also see a lot of chronic pain, a lot of arthritic conditions. We have a very, very active population. So we see a lot of that, but then we also see the people that maybe have struggled for a long time and are just trying to find some help and decrease their pain so they can become more active, because it's a frustrating cycle for those people. They're constantly in pain and they want to become active, but that pain really limits them. So that's something that I really enjoy doing, is trying to get people out of pain and having them understand that and feel better so they can do little things in life and enjoy those things with their kids or their family, or whatever it may be, or those athletes that are really, you know, they're limited right now and they want to get back to their sport. I mean, we have to be healthy and get them back properly, but we can find ways to do that in the proper way.
Well, and I think there's a lot of different gaps. It all depends on what you're looking at. So let's take it from an athlete perspective. You know, I've coached in the past, and I know one of the first things that goes to the wayside, because you're in a limited window of working with the student athletes, mm-hmm. is stretching, mobility, working on those different like functional patterns, range of motion. Do you see a lot of athletes that come in due to lack of stretching and the mobility exercises?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, athletes have, their bodies are smart, right? But then they compensate, and we have a lot of issues with that because they compensate, and a lot of these people are in sports 10 months out of the year and don't have a big break. And so our goal is to get them back properly without compensating and without having all these other issues. And it might start in one area, but then they might have something else. And we want them to get back, you know, to being healthy, because if they want to play 10, 11 months out of the year, we need to teach them how to do that. So yes, stretching, obviously they don't always love to do it on their own.
Right.
So they need some encouragement, but we also need to instill that in them and teach them that, you know, down the road, if we don't take care of this, they're going to have problems and they want to be long lasting. It's a very short period of time in your life. If you're playing a high school sport, you know, I mean, people think, oh, but it's only a couple years. So they want to get the most out of it that they can. So our goal is to help them out with that the best that we can, and do the physical and, you know, try to coach them a little mentally along the way and teach them this stuff. And if we have things in our bag, whether it's stretching or dry needling or any kind of strengthening or stability, a lot of times it comes down to biomechanics too. And maybe they don't understand that. They don't see that. A lot of young athletes probably haven't had a lot of pain in their life, so they need to learn how to deal with pain, or they need to understand pain. Like, maybe your body's telling you something. You have to slow down for 2 days so then you can last 2 months.
And it's hard to have those or know the corrective measures if no one has actually taken the time to say, hey, on your squat, your knees are internally rotating. We need to make sure that you're getting back into proper position. And then pain comes. And then it's at that point, it's like, okay, this could have been corrected before you came in to see me.
Absolutely. It's hard in the weight room sometimes for us to watch people 24/7. And I think with a lot of athletes, we need to teach them this, and they need that continued feedback, because it will go back to old habits. So you're very much right. I don't think they understand biomechanics all the time. So putting them in front of a mirror, making them understand that, okay, you maybe don't need to lift this heavy, but you need to do it properly and you need to do it repetitively until your brain gets used to doing it that way. And that can help prevent injuries. You know, you get hit from the side, and if you have enough strength and you have good biomechanics, more than likely, hopefully, you know, that will save you. So we have to teach them this stuff at a young age so their brain gets patterned that way. A lot of repetitive use things, sometimes it's just using different muscles and teaching them how to do that, because you know how it is when you pitch a lot of games and a poor person has a bad shoulder, they want to get through that season. So we really try to focus on that. A lot of biomechanics, a lot of strengthening, and just kind of seeing where they're at to make sure that they don't have those future injuries.
I think some of the gaps come from progressions. You had mentioned the fact of, okay, more weight is better, when in all reality it's not. Mm-hmm. If your form is incorrect, because now you're setting up, it's a kinetic chain.
Yep.
One thing is going to trigger another, and it's just going to kind of move up the line. And I think now we have so many different lifts that are available, which are great. Back, you know, when we were playing, it was, okay, you're going to do a squat, you're going to do bench press, and then, you know, some deadlifts. That's what you're going to do. And now you've got Olympic lifts and everything else where it's more explosive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your fast twitch, slow twitch, all the different things that they're working. But at the same point, get the foundation down first and then start adding in weight, but then also adding in the stabilization with weight, where it's like, if you can't do it off a BOSU ball, then you shouldn't do it on a BOSU ball.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times, I mean, if it's not there in their repertoire, they don't understand that they're not doing it properly. There might be a very little compensation they can't see, but we can see it. And that can really be problemsome because they're not isolating what they should be doing. They're compensating. And then that becomes a problem down the whole chain or in their back. I mean, once you have a back issue, it's really tough to get out of that.
100%. When we come back out of the break, I want to talk more about dry needling. I know it's been around for quite a while, and you were one of the first practitioners that was bringing it into play. But when we come back, I want to talk about A, the benefits, and then also two, the difference between acupuncture and dry needling. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. You know, when we look at life, how often do you find yourself that you are living in pain and actively seeking a solution? I'm here with Jody Crockett from Pro Rehab, breaking down the importance of A, what to look for, I think is key, but then also what is out there and what are the benefits. One thing I do want to get into is clearly dry needling. I've had it done myself with great success and recovery from it. A lot of people aren't quite sure what dry needling is. So first, Jody, I want you to define what that is and the difference also between dry needling and acupuncture, because there's a common misconception there.
Yeah, there is. I'm not an acupuncturist, so I'll be the first to say that. Acupuncture is based on Eastern medicine, and I do think there's a great place for acupuncture, and I can't really speak on maybe exactly all of that. So I'm going to defer to my dry needling background, which is based on Western medicine, and it is all based on myofascial trigger points. So we are treating muscle, and a lot of times, depending on if we have a biomechanical issue, if we have something else going on, most of the time there's myofascial pain with it. It doesn't matter if you're extremely healthy or not healthy. There's usually some trigger point problems that come with it. So with dry needling, what we do is we do use, the only similarity is that we do use the same needle. And I think that's where the misconception comes in. It is a completely different treatment. We are treating muscle. A lot of times with acupuncture, I think it's definitely more based on, you know, nerve and other things. And like I said, I'm not going to speak to that, but we are looking for myofascial trigger points. And in my specific training, it is based on pain patterns. So a lot of times when people come in and they have pain in a certain area, I am looking at where is the source of that. You know, a lot of times people will come in, runners will come in, I have IT band friction syndrome. A lot of times they have problems with their glutes, and it's a certain part of their glute, not just, you know, their whole glute, maybe a specific part, and it runs down their leg. When people come in with headaches, they might say, I have an ice pick behind my right eye. And a lot of times if we're on the computer all day, it might be in their right trap. So my training is very much based on pain patterns, and that's what I'm looking for. We all have trigger points, we all have tightness, but we need to find the active parts that are causing the pain. So we do use a small acupuncture needle. We go in with a needle. The needle is so small that you actually don't feel the needle like when we put it in, which you will feel the way that I do it, is a contraction. And the contraction usually is kind of a biofeedback to the person, like, okay, I feel that releasing. So when we do massage or we do what we call soft tissue MOBs, we try to settle those trigger points down. But with the dry needling, we're actually going in there and we are releasing that trigger point. I do not hook mine up to stimulation. Some people do, which, I mean, there's pros and cons of both, but I do like to control how much I'm doing it, and I can feel when that is being released. When people start out, obviously we take it a little easy, and some people come in and they really want us to get in there and work on it. So we can kind of, you know, curtail our treatment depending on the patient and what is going on with their body and what they really want. But our ultimate goal is to release those trigger points. And then if people go on their day and they are, you know, see us a couple times and they're doing great, we know it's all from myofascial trigger points, which is a huge problem. We're on our phones, we're on our computers, we're in prolonged positioning a lot more these days, and it's not good on our bodies. And sometimes it's really, really hard to release those trigger points without some help. If people have continued problems, then we can look into, okay, what's going on? Do we have a weakness? Do we have something else going on that's underlying it? And then those are things that we can talk about. So for me, it becomes very diagnostic when people come in for dry needling, because I think when we look at those problems and we release them, we can really tell what's going on.
Now, when you're talking about releasing the trigger points, yep. I've came in a couple of different times mm-hmm. for myofascial, really, you know, for dry needling. Mine was more like the glute, low back area. And I know working into my IT band mm-hmm. also. When somebody comes in for the first time, what should they expect, right? So, you know, mm-hmm. how many different places are you going to go? And I know it varies. I recognize that. But then also, too, on average, what is the length of time that they're able to experience that release before potentially coming back in?
Okay, I would say, let's take you, for example, yep. you're very active, right? When you come in, I'm probably going to take a look. We're going to talk about where your problem areas are, yours, low back, glute, you know. I know you, so I'm probably going to release quite a bit. I know you're going to go stretch. You're going to go drink your water. You're going to, you know, do that type of stuff. And you want to get back to working out. Like, that's your goal. You might have some soreness, some residual soreness, kind of like probably feeling like you had a hard workout. That's probably what your response is going to be because you have a lot of muscle. But we try to keep that pretty like to like a half a day. A lot of icing, a lot of ice. It's kind of like getting a deep massage. And that's what my expectation would be. Try not to overdo it. And then I might have to see you 2-3 times total, maybe one or two, depending on how you feel afterwards, if it's just one area. And hopefully you'll do pretty well and just call when you need to come back in. If someone's had a longstanding history of headaches and migraines or chronic pain, I mean, obviously we're going to be a little bit more careful, and we want to make sure that your body doesn't go into kind of a tailspin of a nervous system response. Yes. And we want to see how you do, because the last thing we want to do is put people in more pain and more misery. We're trying to get them out of pain. So it does very much vary. Some people are very nervous when they come in, and we talk through that and we get them through that. And some people are like, let's go for it. So it really depends on the person themselves. And that's something that we discuss when they come in. A lot of times people come in and like, you know, you saw this person or my friend, and then we talk about it and we decide how much we're going to do. If some people have pain all over their body, sometimes it's kind of nice to touch a little bit on your neck and your back, so you get a little relief on both spots. Because if you just hit one spot, then your body kind of gets angry at the other. So it really does depend on the individual. If you call me and I haven't seen you for a year, I'm probably going to go at it. So then you can maybe just see me once and you're good to go for a while.
Yeah. And I noticed that I had major release after my first dry needling session, where it felt like my glute was so relaxed. And I have never felt that in my mm-hmm. entire life, where it was like, wow. You know, when you look at myofascia or trigger point releases, let's dive in a little bit more about how a muscle can stay contracted, because a lot of people are like, oh, I stretch, I do this, but they're not understanding the depth.
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah. Some people want to know exactly what we do and how long our needles are, but I mean, the glutes, there's many, many layers of glutes in our traps in our neck. And so to get through those, we can massage them, we can take a Theragun, and they will settle down and they will feel better, but they're still sitting there. So you go and you do something, you go sit at a computer or you go run 3 miles and it fatigues out. They're still sitting there and they're still going to cause problems. So the goal is to get down to the bottom of those. So we do get to the bottom of them. You know, when we're going through the glute, we go until we can get down to the bottom of that and we feel that bottom contraction. We can get through all the layers of it. And that's why you feel that deep release. because we're getting all the way through it. And that's the ultimate goal, not to just peck at it and make it feel better for a little bit, but to get through that, because then we know that trigger point will go away. I'm not saying it's never going to come back. If you go run a marathon, or you go, you know, you have a stressful situation in life, or you go sit on the computer for 4 days and you're buried in your work, it will come back. But if you can maintain that, and you know, you can feel better and you can get rid of those migraines, or you can get rid of that IT band pain, that's the ultimate goal. So you know how that feels. And then you can stretch and maintain that. If you're stretching all the time and you feel like it never releases, there's probably some really deep ones in there that might not go away until you get them completely released.
Yeah, I know a lot of people will try pretty much anything and everything. Okay, well, stretching worked for a little bit, or they go on to the foam roller, like mm-hmm. you said, the gun to yoga. But there comes to a point where, like you're talking about the depth, where there's a level where they're not going to release to the point that dry needling does. You did make a point about marathon runners, or you brought them up. And two is, a lot of people don't realize where it's actually stemming from. So if you're looking at the fact of a runner, all of a sudden their knee starts hurting, is it their actual knee, or is it the IT band, or what does that all stem from? Because I know a lot of people will have pain in joints, mm-hmm. not recognizing that it's actually coming from a different location.
Absolutely. That's the great thing. When runners come in, we can release those points, or we can do some testing to be like, you know what? Your ligament tests, I mean, from what we're feeling, it looks good. Let's release these points. And it's probably coming from a quad muscle that's referring to their knee, or it's probably coming from a glute that's referring to their lateral IT band. And we see that a ton. And if we see a runner even two times and there's no change, we know like, okay, we should probably have this looked at through ortho. And that's what I love about the diagnostic part of it, is we can kind of tell right away. Because if you go in there with a needle and you're not getting that release in those areas that we think would be referring to your knee, then we can kind of judge like, yep, this probably is a mechanical issue and we really need to look into this. You know, we're not going to continue to dry needle this if it's not going to help that knee pain. But if you release those quads and, oh wow, my knee pain is so much better, it's 90% better, then we know.
100%. And I love the fact that you work with a team where you guys communicate back and forth. It's very imperative, because you guys might come up with a case like, whoa, I haven't seen this before, and I want to make sure that, have you seen this before, so that we can work together on creating a solution. And more times than not, if you have never gone through physical therapy, never experienced necessarily an injury, you might have overuse in different areas that you don't even recognize. So whether it's massage, going into physical therapy to get checked. Right now, it's about getting our body into the optimal health that we possibly can. And there's no reason why we should settle with living with pain. We're going to go into a quick break, Jody, but when we come back, I want to talk about different preventive measures, whether it's an athlete or, you know, common demographics that they can do to be proactive on their own health, when we come back on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back to Define the Fight. My question for you is, are you proactive or are you reactive when it comes to health? Joining me today is Jody Crockett from Pro Rehab, talking about the importance of, yes, physical therapy. But before you get to the point, what are the steps that you can take to prevent some of the injuries or chronic pain that you may or may not be feeling? So I want to talk about different measures, whether it's stretching, looking at a wide demographic. What are some different things that people can do in their life to make sure that they prevent having different injuries or pain that they've been experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you know, working out and finding that right fit for doing all of that, we're all at different activity levels. So I think that's very important. I think what happens is people get injured or they start having pain and then they stop that aspect. And that's when I end up seeing people. And I do think the computer world, I mean, we're on it all the time, and it's really shifted in my years of practice. You know, it was all a lot of heavy lifting, and now it's a lot of repetitive activities. So yeah, stretching, yoga, working out. And I think the most important part is just finding the right team of people to help you to maintain that. Whether I love working with individuals from all different areas, people that are trainers, people that are massage therapists, people that are chiropractors, acupuncturists, MDs, doctors, I think it's very important for people to find what works for them. And not that they have to be running all the time and always catching up on their pain, but maybe being proactive in that way, being able to go to the gym and finding that schedule. And if you do have a little hiccup, or you do have a little area of pain, or you have a stressful situation in life, knowing how to get out of that and knowing what to do. A lot of times when we have pain, as even with stretching, and we have, you know, it's painful to do that, our brain tells us not to do it. So we stop doing it, and then we maybe stop going to the gym, and maybe we slouch. And so that's just all protective mechanisms of our body. And then that cycle just gets more and more, and our brain just gets in those positions or those postures or those activities that maybe aren't healthy for us. So yes, I love getting people out of pain and then finding what works for them and working with a lot of different individuals in the community that can help us. You know, whether it's having someone work them out, or it's diet or exercise, or just, you know, something at their workstation. Maybe they need it looked at a little bit, and we have people that help with that. So just all of those things, and staying on top of it, because then we're not running to appointments all the time, and we're not running to try to like get ourselves. We're very busy people, right? And we don't like to maybe always help ourselves. We're always looking out for everybody else. So staying on top of that, I think, is very, very important, and being able to go to the gym and work out. But when we get in a pothole, that's the tough part.
Well, and we're a very stress-driven society.
Absolutely.
Which is a fact. When you talk about stress or look at stress, where are the common places that you're finding where people hold it? And then what are some of the best ways to start releasing that from a physical perspective?
Yeah. Obviously, the upper neck. You know, not everyone gets headaches, but a lot of people are like, I am very, very tight in my neck. And I think, you know, we go into these postures, and that's just where we're trying to protect ourselves. We hold a lot of stress there. And we try different things, but sometimes the stress just gets too much. And then we go sit at the computer all day, or we're looking down at our phones, or we're driving 4 hours a day. And that just puts a lot of stress on our neck. When we're sitting, that puts a lot of pressure on our spine, and our muscles don't like that. So if we're not moving out of those postures, those trigger points, that myofascial pain just builds and builds and builds. And we might be like, well, we just have, you know, we have migraines and we have to take medications. And a lot of times people do, but they can also do other things to help that. So they're not having to take as many medications, or maybe they can get out of those postures and just learning little tricks. Like if you have been sitting for 2 hours and you stand up for 30 seconds, you're changing your posture and you're changing all of your muscle. So that's just a very easy trick for people to do, is just getting out of those postures. And then when you go to the gym, as you know, you're releasing a lot of, you know, you're helping your body out so much. But if we go to the gym in pain and we have a lot of stress and we're not lifting, or we're not stretching, or we're not doing that stuff properly, we're not doing our body any good either.
100%. What are your thoughts on the physio chairs, or the balls where people are sitting for at their desk, from a perspective of posture?
Yeah, I think if people are using it, I'm big on whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. It's great, but anything for too long is not good either. So I do think standing desks, sitting on those balls, sitting in a chair, different changes in your posture, I believe, are the most important part. It's just when we're stuck in that same posture all the time. And maybe one person does better with it than the next person, right? Because maybe they don't have a lot of stability in their core, and then they overdo it, then they might have problems. Or the next person might have a ton of stability, and then it feels good for them. So I think we have to listen to ourselves, not worry about what everybody else tells us.
Yes.
And I think as practitioners, we need to do a good job of that too, like listening to the individual person, not just like what's best for everybody.
As you're listening to the individual person, it's very important for people to also look at what their needs are and not what they're seeing on the screen. Far too often, you're going to see it from a supplementation perspective, exercise, food, whatever that looks like. Well, this person looks like how I want to be.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do everything that they're doing, but their body isn't necessarily set up for that style of working out or food, or they don't have necessarily the discipline or the level of commitment. However, not everything that you see is real. Keep that in mind. You're going to have influencers that are pushing different supplementation that they're not actually taking. They could also be taking other synthetic fillers that you don't know. Keep that in mind. Comparison kills. And I think that's the hardest thing in today's society, is it's so superficial. People want to know who you are.
Absolutely.
The real you. And I see a lot of people that are taking different things, and I'm like, wow, we're really in a crazy world right now where we've really lost like our authentic self. And that's what I really hope for people moving forward, is who are you? Be true to you, your personal ethos, your values, and everything starts coming into play. And don't do everything. Don't bite off more than what you can chew.
Absolutely. That's why I love seeing, honestly, a lot of chronic pain, because a lot of times people feel like there's no hope. And if you can get them out of pain and moving just a little bit, their life changes. And that's very rewarding. I mean, we don't all have to do the same thing or be the same person. And a lot of times people don't understand their pain, or they don't understand how much is going on in their body. So when they get that feedback of, oh, you believe me, you know that I'm in pain. I absolutely do, because I can see it with what I'm doing. That's very rewarding. And they might change their whole perspective. And if they come to me and after, you know, 4 weeks, they're like, I want to go to the trainer, or I want to go work out at the gym. That's a huge win. Mm-hmm. And their exercise program is going to look way different than someone that hasn't had chronic pain or have been through a lot of stuff or has an autoimmune issue or all those other things that go on in our bodies that we've seen a lot more of in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years.
How much do you believe emotion pays to pain or transfers to pain from a physical perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Pain, when we're in pain all the time, our nervous system gets very angry, and our nervous system is on high alert all the time. So we might have a very high pain tolerance, but our bodies are very sensitive to things. And so, you know, emotionally too, we get frustrated or we get anxiety about, you know, when do I get to take my, you know, next medication, or how am I going to get through this event? That all plays into our emotions. And then that pain cycle just gets worse and worse and worse. So it is a huge part. And I do think when people don't understand their pain, or they haven't had a diagnosis, or they haven't had anyone believe that they're in pain, that's why I love treating myofascial pain, because there's usually, I would say 95% of the time, there's a myofascial component of people have had chronic pain. So if you can release a little bit of that and have them understand, yes, I know that you're in pain, and they can see that. You can't see myofascial pain on an x-ray. You can't see it on blood work. So a lot of times these people don't understand why they're in so much pain. And so when you can help that and you can understand that and they can see it on a chart that you show them, or they can feel it, it's such a great feedback for the brain. And that's a huge part of the brain. The brain comes into a huge part of it too. And so just that understanding changes their perspective.
100%. I believe that pain management and emotional management go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And I know that when my body is stressed, you know, when I'm looking at all the different things that I need to take care of, or it could be an event that happens, whatever it is in your world, whatever causes you stress, if you have an area in your body that is out of alignment, or a routine, I don't even want to say a routine, but an injury, or like your back or your neck where you hold a lot of stress, I know that my back will tend to act up. I might have, you know, a spasm, whatever it is, when my stress is through the roof.
Absolutely.
And I know that I have to take a step back and say, okay, Mariah, hold on. You're not going to do that lift in the gym. You're going to take your time here. You need to take a step back. You need to stretch. You need to release this. You need to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to meditate, because right now your emotions are heightening your physical, and you need to make sure that it's not getting to the point where it takes you literally out.
And that's the point. That's where we want to get people, where they can recognize that and they can do that. They can get to be like, okay, I need to avoid this lift. I need to stretch. I need to take a day off. But when they're in so much pain, or they have an injury and they don't know what's going on, they don't know what that is, because their brain doesn't know. So that's exactly the point. We want people to get to where they can do exactly what you're describing. Take a day off, avoid a certain lift, do a certain stretch. But if they're in this cycle of pain, they don't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, it comes to a point, especially from an athlete perspective, we have to learn how to check our ego, because mm-hmm. you can't outdo an injury.
Yep.
You need to listen to your body. That's where your intuition comes into play, your level of body awareness. You are not going to go backwards yep. by taking 24 hours off
right.
or 36 hours off. Time does heal. There's other things that you can do, and I think that's a key thing. I mean, I've torn my Achilles tendon. I actually had a partially torn IT band. I broke my hand, and it's like, okay, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do in this situation that doesn't involve this active area that's injured?
Yep.
And it's step by step. You can always do something. Maybe it's walking, you know, maybe it's swimming where it's non-weight bearing, or okay, my lower body, I've got an injury in my lower body, but I can focus on my upper body.
Absolutely.
There's different things. And I think that's the hard part, is until we start getting more educated for ourselves, right? We become very reliant. It's like, okay, I want to learn more. Tell me more, Jody, on what I can do in these areas. Okay, I'm going to go step by step and slowly start implementing into my daily activity. This is what I need to do, right? Step by step. And education is key.
Absolutely. I think that's especially for young athletes, because if they've never had an injury or they've had an injury of a different part of their body, they don't always know. I think they think they do. I've had teenagers myself, but I mean, it's just really hard. Their brain is just telling them go, go, go and push through. And that's not always the case. Obviously, it really never is the case. So if we can educate them and teach them, then hopefully it'll hit home and they won't have those injuries in the future.
You know, it's literally step by step, and fear does trickle in into that window of like, what if I lose my spot? What if I'm not coming back? And it's just take a deep breath. I'd rather have you work on preventive measures or taking the baby steps so that you can go to the big gains. We're going to go into a quick break, but I want to have Jody come back and share how you can get a hold of her on different services. Because you know what? If you're in pain right now, you're really stepping out of your power. We'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back to Define the Fight, talking about proactive versus reactive, but also understanding that you don't have to live in pain. And I think we get to the point where we just want to hang on to that. It becomes part of us.
Absolutely.
When the reality, it really isn't. And you can take active steps to make sure that you're navigating and eliminating some of that pain. Maybe not necessarily all.
Yep.
But, you know, when you start pushing back that percentage to less versus more, now quality of life really starts increasing. Jody, I know that you guys do a lot of different services over at Pro Rehab. What are some, do you want to identify again what some of those services are?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of people that come in just self-referrals. I get a lot of word of mouth, which is awesome. I do have a passion for dry needling, and that's kind of my go-to. But also if I see someone that maybe comes in and I'm like, you know what, I really feel like this is maybe, you know, a true vertigo issue. You know, if somebody I send for that, we do a lot of, we have PT and OT, so workstation evaluations. If it's more of like, okay, I believe this is a true back mechanical issue, we have someone that specializes in that. A lot of athletic type injuries, you know, we might have someone. So jaws are a huge thing. We clench a lot, right? Oh, yeah. If we have neck pain, we probably have jaw pain, and a lot, we see a lot of jaw pain too. So we have people, pelvic floor, women's health, just a little bit of everything. And I just love working as a team inside the clinic and, you know, outside the clinic too, just having a lot of practitioners that we can go to, a lot of specialists, a lot of generalists, people that we can trust, that will listen to us, that I can call on the phone and be like, hey, I have this patient. Would you mind taking a look at them? I think this is what's going on. And really having someone listen to them, I think that's a huge thing, especially in today's world, people don't always know where to go. Yeah. And so that is my huge passion, is finding help for people. If I can't help them, I want to find them help. And then, you know, obviously working with my team there and just really getting the best for that person, but not making them come in for 2 months and we're not getting anywhere. Let's figure out what's best for you.
What are some key signs that maybe I need to see a physical therapist? Because you'll have people that will go to massage, they'll go to chiropractic. What are some key components for them? Like, okay, maybe you need to come in to see a physical therapist, or, you know, is it from a doctor referral? What is that breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, we do get doctor referrals, obviously, for some things. A lot of the stuff that I see is maybe coming actually from massage therapists or chiropractors, because maybe the person isn't getting better. I love working with a team. And so sometimes I feel like if I can get them out of pain, then sending them back to do those maintenance type things, then people do really well. So sometimes it's just that people are stuck and they're not improving, or they're maybe taking too much ibuprofen for 2 weeks and, you know, no change, or they're going to the gym and they're sore for 4 hours after, headaches, stiffness, you know, the foam roller isn't helping. I have more pain when I go on it, or I can't use the Theragun, or I can't do these shoulder presses, or certain things that they've maybe done regularly. I can only run 1 mile instead of five. So those types of things, maybe change in activity, mm-hmm. change in symptoms. You know, sometimes people get ridiculous pain down their arm, down their hand, down their leg, and they're always like, oh, it's a disc in my neck, but they don't see anything on an MRI. Well, it's probably coming from some trigger points in your shoulder blade because you're on your mouse too much. I mean, we see that a ton. So if you've had workups and people say, I don't know why you're in pain, it could be myofascial pain, because a lot of times we don't see that. And so that's where I like to come into play and see if I can help it. And honestly, I can say if I see them, you know, one or two times and we're not getting that reaction, it's very visual, they can feel it. If we're not getting any of that, then we know there's something going on and we'll help them find what that is. Or if they come in for dry needling And they talk to me and I'm like, you know what? This isn't a dry needling thing. This is definitely, you know, a mechanical thing or a disc or something. Then getting them maybe to one of the other physical therapists, if that's their specialty, or myself or whoever it may be. But just finding the right treatment for them, I think, is the huge thing.
Really quick, what is the, how many people do you find are dehydrated and it's really impacting their body from lack of hydration, electrolytes, on body repair?
Well, the funny thing is after someone gets dry needle, no matter what, I tell them they have to drink a lot of water. So hydration comes in a huge part. And when we train for dry needling, which I did years ago, I noticed if I didn't drink enough water, my muscles were hurting bad. So it's a huge part. I mean, I can't tell necessarily maybe right away that people are dehydrated, but they will absolutely tell me, wow, when I drink water, I feel so much better. But when I didn't drink water after that session, I got really sore. So there's a huge component of hydration. And I think we drink a lot, but we don't.
We don't.
We pull too much out.
Well, when I tell people that, you know, hey, you're thirsty, that means you're already dehydrated. That's the key thing, is you don't want to wait until you need water. You need to make sure that you're drinking it throughout. Yep, be ahead of the game. What is the best way that people can get a hold of you for whether it's dry needling or the other services that you guys provide at Pro Rehab?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just call Pro Rehab. And sometimes people just, well, the front desk is really good about kind of sorting that out. Like, these are my symptoms. This is what I'm seeing. And we can kind of help direct them. We have, obviously we take insurance, and we have a lot of self-pay dry needling options because people have high deductibles. So a lot of people just like to kind of, you know, for dry needling, come in kind of like their massage a little bit, and they're on a maintenance type thing, and we can decipher what's best for them. Sometimes people come in for a little dry needling and a little therapy. We just really game plan depending on what is going on with them.
Beautiful. Well, Jody, I want to thank you for coming in and joining me today, sharing your knowledge and clearly your passion on helping people feel better, and also recognizing that it takes a team. You guys provide so many different services, but like you had mentioned, you link arms within the community with massage therapists, with chiropractors. And that's really important, is that we need every single person to be body maintenance and get people moving forward. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, as you guys know, until you define your fight, how do you expect to win your fight? And what I can tell you is it's your fight to win. Have a great week.